It took place today.
If you're in line, it's right time to go home.
If what? I can't hear
I said
you.
If you're in line, it's probably time to go home.
Yeah, if you're in line, you're getting rained on, so
yep.
I don't know what you're doing.
Did you do a write-in? Did you write someone in?
Yes. That's all I'm going to say. No, okay. I didn't. I just wanted to answer their misleading little questions on the back of the ballot, mostly.
Yep.
I think that was the most definitive part.
Was it like a bunch of double negatives?
Right, yeah. It's like they use like social justice language and double negatives to
right.
play.
Do you not...
believe in this. Not prohibiting the allowance of prohibitions on on measures to deny based on race, religion, and funding genocide. Yes, I mean no, I mean yes.
I would vote yes on that. Just saying.
If you he went.
No, I mean no. No, I'd vote no.
Oh, thank you.
Phew.
That was a close.
Listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This is GORP. You just heard Sever the Blight by Hemlock Springs. Stay tuned for a variety of different genres playing here for the next hour.
Before that, WRCT is supported by Sidecar Bakery in North Oakland. Sidecar is an independent coffee shop with a full coffee bar, ready-made breakfast sandwiches, breakfast pastries, savory hand pies, cakes, and pies made in the bakery next door. Sidecar offers a place to eat, study, eat, and hang out with friends in a cafe setting. Open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. For more information, visit their website at sidecar412.com. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. All right, next up, we're going to hear You're Dead by Norma Tanaga and Morabiasa by Kebi Blow from Music from Saharan Cell Phones.
teach you to be free. She said, no, no, no. She said, no, no, no. I'm devastated.
Kabablo, Balti, Machas.
Muribayasa, Mimalila, Ainan Kandong.
Muribayasa,
Lady Falidong.
Muribayasa,
Lada Falidong.
Muribayasa,
Lambe Falidong.
Muribayasa,
Muribayasa, Mimalila, Ainan Kandong.
Muribayasa,
Lady Falidong.
Muribayasa,
Lada Falidong.
Muribayasa,
Lambe Falidong.
Muribayasa,
Belauli Bidong. Muribayasa, Chongoro Bai Dong. Muribayasa, Usoro Bai Dong. Muribayasa, Tameleni Dong. Muribayasa, Suruni Dong. Muribayasa, Lady Tiki Dong. Muribayasa, Lady Falidong. Muribayasa, Sumuru Saranta Utadon Tugodo. Kamilin Saranta.
Tipo cabo halin banda banda
tipo cabo halin banda banda.
bam dum 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 de bam 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 ba de bam 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 ba di
d'où il vient, enfin je saurai où je vais. Maman dit que lorsqu'on cherche bien, on finit toujours par trouver. Elle dit qu'il n'est jamais très loin, qu'il part très souvent travailler. Maman dit travailler c'est bien, bien mieux qu'être mal accompagné. Pas vrai, où est ton papa? Dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, c'est ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai compté mes doigts. Il y aura bien un jour où on n'y croira plus. Un jour ou l'autre on sera tous papa. Et d'un jour à l'autre on aura disparu. Serons-nous détestables? Serons-nous admirables? Des géniteurs ou des génies? Dites-nous qui donne naissance aux irresponsables, hein? Dites-nous qui? Tiens, tout le monde sait comment on fait des bébés, mais personne sait comment on fait des papas. Monsieur, je sais d'où on aurait hérité. C'est ça, reçu de son pouce ou quoi? Dites-nous où c'est caché. Ça doit faire au moins mille fois qu'on a bouffé nos doigts. Dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, il sait ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai compté mes doigts. Où est ton papa? Dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, il sait ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai compté mes doigts. Où t'es papa?
was Papa Toi by Stromae. Before that, Cabo Lang by Abel Slakwe. Next up, Keno Danyen by Fatoma Dara and Sneebog by Deng Fever.
If you're liking what you're hearing so far, there's a lot of other shows to listen to here on WRCT. A mercurial mix from tempestuous post-punk to sunny twee pop. Every Tuesday, 3 to 4 p.m., the stormy weather on WRCT 88.3 FM. Or want to diversify your music taste? Find yourself consistently searching for new songs in your favorite genres? If yes, tune in to hear something old, something new, and something borrowed on Something Blue. Join us on Something Blue at 5 p.m. on Mondays.
Also, Lavender Hour. Music you can dye your hair and your bathroom purple to. Thursdays at 5 p.m.
drunk, bathtub, outcast, weirdo, stepchild, freak show, black girl, fat hair, broad nose, poster, crap sheets, Broadway, tuxedo, holiday, creator's block, love song, stupid words, erase song, the gunshots, orange house, get it up and up with dirty mouth, spoiled milk, stale bread, welfare, combined blood, record deal, light bulb, bloody war, instigators, third floor, promiscuous style, broken heart, STD, quarantine, heroin leaders, cocaine, final chapter, death bags, plastic steps, metal skins, the house clears, man skin, carefree, nightclub, closet drunk, bathtub, White House, Jim Crow, dirty lies, my mind is ours.
I'm not gonna beg you. Oh, oh, oh. preaching for his funeral and some lonesome graveyard clown.
You just heard Darlin' Corey by Amethyst Kia. Before that, Ain't Gonna Beg You, Fantasia, Many Moons, Janelle Monae. I'm gonna switch vibes a little bit here, but first, a public service announcement. Does your child sometimes get headaches, stomach aches when they aren't sick? Those headaches and stomach aches your child gets may be a migraine. A migraine is not just a headache. A migraine attack can last for hours or even days, often with sensitivity to lights and sounds or nausea and vomiting. Migraine is more common than you think. 10% of children and 28% of adolescents have migraine disease. Migraine at school can help. Learn more at migraineatschool.org. Parents, understand how migraine impacts their children's ability to learn. It can be hard to focus and can even mean missing school. But with the right accommodations, they can succeed. Every child deserves the chance to flourish in school. Visit migraineatschool.org to learn more. Sponsored by the Coalition for Headache and Migraine Patients. You're listening to Concrete PH by Yanis Nakis. Before that, Crystallized by Carmelia. Forza by OK Giorgio. Up next is Bare Bones Lay Low, Ideas Flotanes.
Thank you. Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
Hello, we are on Forbes Avenue on WRCT Pittsburgh. I'm Riona Duncan, and I have a guest here. So I've got Elizabeth Dietrich, who is a PhD student in literary and cultural studies. So one of your main things is studying early modern theater, so I wanted to start us off with a silly question. So what is your favorite Shakespearean insult?
There are some that are straight up insults, like Queen Margaret calling Richard III a toad, saying he's unfit for any place but hell, right? These are kind of straightforward, but I like the ones that are kind of shade in a conversation, sort of like the line, I do desire that we may be better strangers, which is from As You Like It, a very sort of funny, a lot of humor woven into that particular play. At one point in Hamlet, Polonius says to Hamlet that he's going to take his leave, and Hamlet says that there is no thing that he would more willingly part with than Polonius's company. So these are actually, I think, my favorites, are the sort of sly, situational, conversational insults.
So it's less you egg and more, you know, contextually, that is really brutal.
Definitely. Yeah.
Let's take it back to more things you have done than random questions. But you've actually spent a while like working in professional theater companies. So can you tell me a little about what you did and what it was like?
Yeah, I've worked at a couple of professional theater companies. Haven't had the privilege of working with any in Pittsburgh yet, but I worked with the Michigan Shakespeare Festival, which is in Michigan, surprisingly, perhaps, and a professional theater in Chicago that is now closed called the American Theater Company. With the Michigan Shakespeare Festival, I had a double role as both a dramaturg and a company manager. And then in Chicago, I was in the education department. So a bit of a different sort of thing, less about putting the plays on and more about the outreach endeavors that particular theater did.
Before we go any further, I know a lot of people have asked me what a dramaturg is as an English student, and I don't really know. So can you kind of tell me what that's like?
Yeah. So my first answer is it kind of depends on not only the theater, but the play. It's a very flexible role. My professor of dramaturgy at my undergraduate institution said on the first day of dramaturgy class that the dramaturg is the smartest person in the room. Which is, of course, no shade to actors, directors, and all kinds of other brilliant people. But I think what he was going for is the dramaturg sees a picture that is sort of bigger and deeper than the others involved who might be focused on staging the play, on enacting one of the characters, or one of these sort of more focused roles. So in my capacity as a dramaturg for the Michigan Shakespeare Festival, I did do a little bit of research, but a lot of that for that particular festival was also done by the directors. So I would occasionally look up sort of random questions that the actors might have. I remember doing a deep dive for the actress playing Viola in Twelfth Night, and she was sort of stuck on one of her lines. So she asked me, what does Viola mean when she says that her sister, or she's sort of impersonating Cesario, so she's talking about herself, but she's sort of in the third person, that this woman died of a green and yellow melancholy. So I did this sort of deep dive for this actress into early modern humors and bile, and we really got to sort of dig into, you know, is this a metaphorical sickness or a real sickness? So these kind of deep dive questions, but I also did a lot of promotional writing in the forms of newsletters, and I gave a public talk. So the dramaturg in some cases can be more public facing, but a lot of the time is just a research role. And a lot of the time they have a very strong role in preparing the concept of the play, actually. Sometimes dramaturgs will do the background research that a director needs about the period that a play is set in or the concept of a play. And then sometimes they're also involved in new play development. Finding new work for the theater to perform, or finding either new plays that are newly written or just finding plays that fit with the theater's sort of concept and their vision for their season. Yeah, so it depends on what people need. But in all cases, it's a research-heavy, writing-heavy job that can be very rewarding and teach you a lot of very random things that you never thought you would learn, like exactly what people ate in 1940, right before the Blitz in England or something like that.
Wow, that's specific.
Who knows? Yeah, yeah.
So about your role in Chicago, in more education, how does that fit into the whole idea of theater and what a theater does?
Yeah, that the mission of a lot of professional theaters will be outreach in terms of getting the community involved, whatever that community might be, and especially reaching out to young people who might not have theater accessible to them. So a lot of what we did was in the Chicago public high schools with teaching artists who were integrated into their classes. And then the students got to come to the theater and watch a special performance of the play. So it was an opportunity for kids who might not get a chance to do that or might not live conveniently close to a theater. A lot of educational programming is aimed at youth. Well, there's also a sense in which you do audience education as well, sort of writing things and making things available for the public to learn more.
I feel like that both of those roles are things that people wouldn't think of when thinking of somebody at a theater. You think of an actor, right? So what do you think people don't understand about professional theater companies from your experience?
I think you're right, and that people do envision theater as being artists in a certain sense of the word. I think everybody who works in theater sort of on some level considers themselves an artist, but they think about set designers and lighting designers and people who sew costumes in a basement or stage hands or something. But there's a lot of work that goes on, not behind the literal scenes, but behind the sort of figurative scenes of making a theater run. There's a lot of work that goes into getting money to help a theater run, from gifts, from organizations, to promoting at levels that might not be as obvious as your sort of social media marketing and things like that, but are more like community outreach in a sense that theater really does provide, right, a resource for any community that it's in. And there are a lot of people who go into making that possible. So departments like outreach departments like marketing, dramaturgy is sometimes its own department. There's a lot of people who have day jobs at theaters that you might not think. They're not sort of like treading the boards, so to speak, but they're more like doing spreadsheets. You need spreadsheets too at theaters.
I feel like you always need spreadsheets.
I'm a big fan of a spreadsheet. I love a spreadsheet.
Also, in working with different, you know, theaters, do you feel like there are differences between companies? Are they regional? Is it just luck of the draw?
Yeah, I think there is a lot of difference between different sizes of theater companies. There are some regional differences as well, in large part because of communities, but also in terms of the sort of populations that you're trying to get to come to your theater and the sort of artists and professional population that you're sort of drawing from. So I've only worked in the Midwest, for example. I've never worked at a Broadway theater or even an off-Broadway theater or even an off-off-Broadway theater. Nor have I ever worked on the West Coast, where things are a little bit, you know, you're in competition with a different kind of media out there in a large way. So, yeah, I do think that it is a little different. The pace might be a little different. Some of the risks that you're able to take in programming, if you're a very rural theater, then you might need to have sort of a more conventional approach to a season versus if you're in an urban center.